Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to bump. It's time to thump. It's time to bludge. The best of bludging on the blind side.
Speaking of the Olympics, as we were earlier, another sport which is going to make its debut, I think, in Paris is breakdancing.
Now, yes.
You know,
it's a bit old model, isn't it?
Well, I was just going to say that. It felt to me as though it's a bit last year's model with a lot of lip and hip.
Yeah, what are kids getting into break? I don't think so.
Well, so what happens here is Dr. Rachel Gunn started breakdancing 11 years ago. Yeah. She never imagined she could go to the Olympics, but she is, or maybe she is, as an Australian rep.
Yeah.
Now, she's a university lecturer, top-ranked female breaker in the country, known as Ray Gunn.
Ray Gunn.
Okay. Is on track to become the first Australian B-girl Olympian, meaning breakdancing girl Olympian.
Right.
It's still dawning us breakdancers that are here that this is happening. This is a new community for us and it's thrilling to be part of.
Right.
We're just excited and I think we're still taking it all in. Sadly, the language is wrong, isn't it?
Mm.
Hey, dude!
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
It has a sort of patois.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, what are you looking at? You
to give itself cred, because breakdance was about street cred, wasn't it?
That's right. What's that clinking sound? That's the jewellery, bro.
Yeah. I don't know.
So when it comes to it is that...
it's not talking to kids now, though. I mean, it's talking to kids who were kids
30 years ago. I know.
At least 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do now. Gaming.
Well, exactly.
Even tagging is an Olympic sport. That's sort of...
Well, you see, that's
old model as well.
Yeah, you think about...
Gaming, that's the go, isn't it? Or betting.
What?
Betting is an Olympic sport.
Now you're talking.
Hey?
That's where it's at.
That's where
bro.
It's at, bro.
That's the show, bro.
Yes.
Now.
And you get to keep your winnings with your gold medal.
Yeah. And the bars. Now... Paris 2024, 16 athletes, both men's and women's competition, will compete in solo battles. They'll be judged on...
What are they being judged on? Tiered?
On six categories. Creativity, personality, technique, variety, performativity. Not sure what that
performativity?
Is.
Performativity?
And musicality.
Oh, man. Musicality.
Mm.
I suppose so. I suppose you'd do it to music, wouldn't you? You would, or some sort of beat.
Yeah. It's not a matter of who has done the biggest backflip, who's done the most head spins that the judges are taking into. Its account is holistically across these categories.
Oh, no. Recipe for disaster.
I know.
You could give someone anything for anything. I mean, it gets all the judges off the hook, doesn't it?
I really like that you develop this sense of individuality and self-expression to develop your own style. It's a balance between athleticism and lifelong artistry. Well, hang on a minute. What is this? What are we describing? Synchronized swimming all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's good is that the last 3 years...
How do you judge personality? Hey?
Well...
With your breakdancer, because they're going to come out tutie. Not as if they're going to come out with a big grin and say, you know, here I am, love me.
Yeah. Well, that was good about the skateboarding in Tokyo.
Yeah.
They looked as though they were the part.
They did.
They had,
ill-fitting stuff on that made them
trousers,
look stupid and trousers didn't fit and stuff like that was really funky. Wouldn't it? Well, I don't know if funkiness was
no,
part
no,
of it.
Don't walk away from it. Funky
no, I'm happy to accept funkiness. You know, I'd judge funkiness if it was part of the breakdancing.
Yeah.
Substitute funkiness for personality, because personality ain't going to work.
No.
Funkiness, 8 out of 10.
Yeah. Ray Gunn.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's right. Here's a gold medal and a bar. Now, Ray Gunn says, I'll still be nervous and I'm still me and I'm going to show all those emotions that come along with the sport.
Right. She's still being me.
Australians.
Great.
Now, for many traditional Olympic sports, there's a clear pathway for athletes to qualify. For the Australian breaking community, the past 3 years have been a scramble to get everything in place for the road to Paris. A qualifying event, the Oceania region later this year, has yet to be locked in. So they're struggling to get, runs on the board.
Yeah, right.
The last 3 years have been really fast putting all that infrastructure in place. But we're ready, we're going to be there, and we just need support from the Australian public. Now, infrastructure in place. I thought the whole idea was breaking was all you needed was a bit of cardboard and some concrete street.
That's it.
Now, if we go elsewhere and a boombox.
And a boombox,
sure. Old school boombox.
Yeah, but you don't need the one boombox for everyone.
Exactly.
It's not as if you need 1,000 boomboxes. You don't.
It could be a pretty cheap
Very cheap sport to get up and running.
Mm.
But how popular is it? I mean, has Norway got it? I mean, is it?
I would say Norway probably, of all places, might have a...
Iceland? I mean, who does breakdancing? I mean, when was the last time you saw anyone breakdancing anywhere? Well, I haven't. Not for years.
No, I know.
And nor have I thought about it.
I'm trying to think.
And nor have I reached out or thought about reaching out to the breakdancing community.
Because you haven't.
Because I haven't. And you can say, oh, well, you're just not interested in breakdancing. No, I'm not. Sure, that's true. So I do have a bit of a prejudice.
But you don't have a prejudice.
But when I see great breakdancing, you love it.
I know. Are you prepared to think, well, the funkiness is great.
It's great.
9 out of 10 funkiness.
Thank you.
Costume, not so good.
Not so good.
Yeah, bit old school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love your cardboard.
The best of bludging on the blind side. League lovers, you want to own a horse but don't know how to get involved? Rooting King Syndications can cut the red tape and leg you aboard a chestnut certainty in time for the Rural and Regional Cup Carnival. Speak to the rooting team, Weed and Bruce, at the blind side.
Adam Carney has had a great run with the number 11.
Mm.
Anything significant that the Murdoch press got this? Anything significant that happens to me? 11 seems to come up. Carney said recently, it's a spiritual number, a guiding number, but it's hard to talk about because people might think you're nuts.
Right.
Now, let me set it out.
It's a spiritual number.
Yeah, spiritual number, a guiding number, hard to talk about because people might think you're nuts.
Hmm.
Now, okay. In numerology...
Yeah.
Not a subject I'm all that familiar with. The number 11 is a master number, which signifies intuition, insight, and enlightenment.
A master number?
Yeah. When paired with together, 11-11, get it? Two 11s.
That's supermaster?
That's supermaster. I'll give you an idea how big it is. When paired together, 11-11 is said to be a clear message from your spirit guides and the universe to become conscious and aware. Look, I'm all for taking psychedelics to improve mental performance.
Sure.
I've been doing it for years myself. But this is going way too far.
Well.
It's overdosing.
Yeah.
So what happens here is...
Hang on, how does this work? Who's getting in touch with me if I come across the number 11 or something?
Well...
Is this some spirit guide getting in touch with me?
Well, I don't...
And how am I meant to respond to the spirit guide? By being aware.
It's not as though it's got a name or a presence. It's just a system.
Oh.
You know, so as in, there's another essential element to this story. It began 30 years ago. Mm. Greg Hickman, this is a sidebar issue here.
Yeah.
Greg Hickman was training a small team in the bush at the time when he was offered an opportunity to work at the big city stable, Warwick Farm. Hickman accepted the job knowing his life was changing forever. As he watched his hometown of Gunnedah disappearing in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
You can see it now, Gunnedah in the rearview mirror. Hickman glanced at the clock on the car dashboard. It read...
11 past 11.
Thanks very much. See, you're on board.
Whoa.
You know,
that's scary.
Scary.
Isn't it? I mean, the number 11 is fascinating, isn't it? I was just thinking about this the other day. Do you know that Don Bradman was never on 11 runs?
When he got out?
No. At any time, ever.
He was always 9
or 10
or
and
13.
Then to 12. Off he'd go. Never 11.
Isn't that
never
incredible?
Once.
Isn't that incredible? How did you work that out?
Well, I just looked it up.
Oh.
You know, was the Don ever on 11? Googled it. Yeah.
Oh, right. Fair enough.
That's all he's got to do.
As fate would have it, remember he's leaving the town at 11-11?
Yeah.
As fate would have it, these two men, this is Adam Carney and Greg Hickman, were lunching on the Gold Coast 2 years ago. The day before Hickman trained Parada, part owned by Carney, was due to contest the Rich Magic Millions three-year-old guineas. I asked Greg if Parada would win when he said, I have something to... tell you, I've got a thing about the number 11.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah, as you do.
My wife, Taylor, thought this was a G-up, and she said, you two have spoken about this before. I told Taylor, I swear we hadn't.
Yeah.
And then I told Greg I had the same issue with number 11. So two of them with the same issue with number 11.
Wow.
Gunnedah.
Rainbow connection
through the number. When Parada...
The spiritual guides at the same time, each of their own spiritual guides were saying they had to be equally conscious at the same time. Is that how it works?
I think that's right. Now.
So where did it end up?
Well, it's a hell of a story.
What did it mean?
What's it mean?
How did the numbers express themselves in terms of winnings.
Okay, that's the nub.
Yes.
Right, when Parada won his first race, he was a 11-1 chance. When he won his first group race, one or whatever it was, he came out of barrier
11.
Thanks very much. When he won his final race, the Red Zell Stakes,
yeah,
his starting position was gate
11.
And when Parada ran away with his only Group 1 win, the 2019 All-Age Stakes, yeah, it was
11
years
after his, Lord,
after his father died.
11 years after his father died?
11 years after his father died.
What are the chances of that?
Sometimes you sort of feel as though you're pushing the
ticket.
Yeah,
I know.
But stick with us.
I know. But the thing is, HG, as I often say to kids, you know, who are interested in these sorts of things, I often say, all right, imagine what happened today 11 years ago, you know, and they say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's when we didn't buy a car.
That's
or
right.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, or the scones were burnt or something like that.
Or we deep-fried the scones.
We deep-fried the scones and we were all sick.
Now, Carney recalled that everything seemed to be in sync going into the Magic Million 3 years ago. The Magic Million Guineas 2 years ago. It was like nothing could go wrong. I remember we were staying at this hotel and they let me park in the same spot each morning because we were going to track work at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Then I'd drive back to the hotel at 5:30 a.m. But one morning there was a car in my spot with the number plates.
11? 11?
Well done. 11, oh, 11.
Good. What was it doing there?
Abbreviations.
Who was driving it?
These were abbreviations for 11-11, you get me?
Yeah.
So ELVN, you know, twice.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
Now, that same week, Carney and Hickman purchased a Fastnet Rock yearling at the Magic Million sales. With everything that was happening in his life, Carney and Hickman, when it came to naming the yearling, was obviously 11-11.
Yeah.
That's what they had to call it. Mm. There was a certain synchronicity about the purchase of the yearling. I was the underbidder for the horse,
yeah,
but he wasn't sold on the day. You understand?
Yeah.
Anyway, as the day progressed, I hadn't bought a horse. And when I got back to my hotel, Taylor asked, that's his missus, what happened? And I said, I haven't bought a thing.
Mm.
She would have been shocked, wouldn't she?
She would have, yeah. What, you've come home empty-handed, no horse? Where's me horse?
Stunned. I opened the catalogue and came to the page of the Fastnet Rock Keeling and I kept saying to myself, I should have bought it.
Yeah.
Taylor said to ring Greg back and tell him you wanted to buy the horse, and I rang Greg and asked him if he could contact the breeder and tell him I'm happy to pay a quarter of a mil for it.
Yep.
Greg said, no, we're not paying.
Why didn't he offer him 11,000 or something?
Exactly. Or 110,000.
Yeah.
Now, if I got the numbers right there. Anyway, Greg, no, we're not paying a quarter of a million for it, but I said, Greg, please do it for me. Then a little later, Greg rang back and said, you owe me $10,000 as I got the horse for $240,000. We had to name it 11-11.
Oh, what a magical story.
Mm.
And, you know, the funny thing is most jockeys have stories about numbers,
do they?
Don't they? Yeah, yeah.
Do they?
They don't often evolve a number as powerful as 11.
No.
Sometimes they're lesser numbers, you know, like 7.
Yeah.
Which is a number I've always had trouble with over the years. I hate 7.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
Well, that's because Bruce McAvaney's on it. And remember all those times you put Bruce McAvaney on with the Rooting King in the...
Oh, because he's on 7.
He's
on
7.
Is that why I don't like that bloody Sunrise show? Is that it?
Yeah, Koshy and them.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you can't stand them.
No.
Because they're on 7.
Yeah.
But I tell you what works for you is 27, doesn't it?
Oh, 27. Yeah.
You know, the boys...
It's my lucky charm.
Yeah, Fractious and, Bruce and Weed, always, you know, 27. They were over the moon when they drew 27.
Yeah.
Always with 27 start. Always
sure,
did it.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
I know it's incredible, 27.
It is amazing. And I've often discussed this with mathematicians.
Yes.
You know, I often say to them, I love your work because I know how important numbers are.
The best of bludging on the blind side. The Las Vegas Church of Rugby League has secured a month's residency for former Australian strongman ScoMo next March. In Weekly Sprays, the Mo will take us his themes, The Miracle of the Five Jobs, The Sermon of the Shark, and The Night at Engadine Macca's that changed his life forever. Dates and times available from Bludging on the Blind Side.
Look, there's a suggestion from Malcolm HG. He says that US tradies, you've got to remember that due to water going down the plug hole in the opposite direction to Australia,
mm-hmm,
you know, you know, because of gravity, just works the other way, doesn't it? Our tradies need to operate in a mirror-reversed environment.
Right.
So you'd have to have a mirror, otherwise you'd feel weird with the water going around the wrong way.
But would that mean threads were...
No, I don't think it affects threading. No, it's just the water going down the bowl.
Right.
It can put you off.
It can.
Yeah.
Well, you're used to the carpet going in a certain direction on the flash.
Well, that's it.
You know, just imagine...
That's how weird it is when it's going wrong. You think you're going mad.
I know. You'd have to step back and think about it, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Now, Andrew's been in touch, HG. He says Coriolis is the reason the water goes down the drain in different directions in the northern and southern hemispheres, not gravity.
What does that mean?
Well, what a good question. And what does happen on the equator? Does it go in...
Just stays there.
Yeah. It just goes down evenly, perhaps.
Now, although this hasn't come...
Coriolis, I must get... Get involved.
Facts. Yeah, Coriolis, get involved, that's right. And try and do it at your place.
Yes. I suppose there'd be a few plumbers listening who'd know all about Coriolis. They're probably taught that.
They'd
have to be.
It wouldn't come naturally.
No!
Now, apparently at Sandown, number 11's just won. I wouldn't know what race we're up to there because of my eyes taken elsewhere. But that's a good get for the 11
It is, isn't it? And Ben of Sunrise Beach puts the question, what would Gough Whitlam have had to say about this 11-11 business? Such a powerful number, isn't it?
It is.
When you think about it.
11-11.
Yeah, we never think about it, do we?
No.
Well, we are now.
Exactly.
And it's a very sober consideration, isn't it?
It is. I'm
looking at numbers differently now. You know how every now and again you don't think of numbers at all? And every now and again you think.
Well, you've always, in the show, revealed that problem you've always had with 7.
Yeah.
Remember when the king used to get in barrier 7, you'd scratch the horse straight away.
Straight away. Well,
questions asked.
The only thing I like doing, HG, is tackling a number 7 because you always gave them something special because they were little.
Now, look, I don't know if we can explain this, but as you know, Skid Marks over at 9 is trying to drag the whole...
Hang on.
Sorry.
Rod Laver won 11 Grand Slam titles, as did Bjorn Borg. I mean, this is just getting too scary, isn't it?
I know. I wish we hadn't opened this can.
I know.
I tell you what, let's...
You can see how cults begin, can't you?
You can.
It'd be so easy to start a cult.
Number 11 cult.
The number 11 cult.
Mm. Now, hang on.
You know, because there are a lot of people, gullible people in the world who could be easily switched on and turned on to this sort of thinking, you know?
Are there? Yeah. Gullible people?
Yeah.
I mean, people who think Class A is okay.
Yeah. Whatever happened to Covis 11?
Covis 11? Or COVID 11?
COVID 11, even better.
So are you seeing this 19 not indicating a year, but indicating the number of times this virus has been loose in the world?
No, I'm not suggesting that at all.
I won't disagree with you.
Yeah. But all I'm suggesting is if COVID 19 was COVID 11, it'd be a hell of a lot more powerful, and we've just got to be thankful that it's not.
No, that's beautifully put. Now, can I just say 11? When's the 11th of May come up, for instance? That'd be a... I'm just going.
Right.
Are you seeing people maybe nuding up and dancing around a kerosene flame? I'm not sure. That sort of thing. And
what, covering themselves in pig fat?
Well, that'll be two for a start.
Is that what 11ists get up to?
And maybe playing a... I don't know.
They catch a fish, turn it into a scone, cover themselves in pig fat and light a fire. Is that it?
And play Bon Jovi really loud. I mean, just to start with. I mean, all of a sudden you've got the elements. You've got your fish.
Yeah.
You've got your, you know, your obviously...
Well, we're starting to get rules.
Rules.
For how 11s behave.
That's fantastic. And look, we've only been working
on
this.
You can do it. I know. The 11th of every month. Every month's got an 11 in it.
And
people forget that.
And we've only been working
on
this.
People think, oh, no, I can just skip straight from 9 to 10. Like the
dog. They can't.
No, you can't.
Now,
that's temporal reality.
And we've only done this for 11 seconds. Imagine what happens if we did it for 11 hours.
Whoa.
Imagine the ideas, the rules we could come up with in 11 hours.
Want to get more involved in rugby league? Drop into Rugby League World in Ipswich and talk to the team. No appointment necessary. The best of bludging on the blind side.
For more Roy and HG, search Bludge on the ABC Listen app.